I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. Our gospel today can be looked down, has been looked at by some people as problematic, because what it sounds like is Jesus is encouraging divisions. But when I read and as I study and look at this gospel, I don't think that division is Jesus' expectation. It's just that he acknowledges what the good news is going to do, because the good news calls us to change. Jesus is talking primarily to, to groups of Hebrews, people of Israel, people of the Torah, people who understand themselves as chosen of God. And many of them have lived a certain way of life and have developed a certain understanding of how they are supposed to live, not only with God, but amongst their neighbors. They see themselves, many of these people, as separate from the greater community. That it's their way only. There's no changing. And here's Jesus coming along and saying that the Torah, yes, the law is important, and that he wasn't there to change the law, but that the law had been there to guide, sort of as as a teacher, to keep people on a path. But with Jesus, and his message is bringing the commandment, a whole new commandment. He's basically taken all the commandments and putting it into basically two commandments, what we often refer to as the Great Commandment, to love God and to love our neighbors. And he's talking to people about expanding their worldview. In other words, it's not this segregated little group of people, that they must look outside of themselves, that they must learn to accept the foreigner, the Gentile, to see women and children not only as possessions, but as fellow people of the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus, through his good news, is telling people that they need to change. And of course, nobody ever really wants to change. It's like the old, it's the old, thing about, when people say, oh, we want to have a bigger church. But nobody really wants strangers, they say, in their church. They want people who are often just like them. We don't often want to do the things that we need to be more inviting. And sometimes when we try, it creates division. And I'm sure that's where Jesus was looking at amongst his followers and amongst the people whom he grew up with, the people of Israel, is that he was telling them that they had to change. And this was going to bring a certain amount of division. You had those people who understood it, and those people who were just holding on to the whole ways. And as Jesus told them, you see the signs with the weather. He's pointing out how you see the cloud in a certain position, it's going to rain. You feel the wind blowing in a certain direction, that it's going to bring heat. You can look around you and you can see the signs around you when it comes to the earth. But you see the sign in front of you of God, you see me. And you either ignore it or you don't understand it, or you miss it completely. Or as I think where he's pointing out today, as he refers to hypocrites, those who know and understand the sign but refuse to accept it because it means they need to change their way. And This wasn't just a problem with Jesus. This is an ongoing struggle in the church, because even within the church that Jesus started, we end up with a lot of divisions at times. There's, you know, we don't have dozens upon dozens of denominations out there because we all saw eye to eye. And sometimes our divisions are caused by people wanting to see the good news or see the scripture as supporting ways that are maybe even opposed to the will of God. Now, of course, in the Episcopal Church, Sundays, you know, Sundays are dedicated to Jesus. There's only about a half a dozen holy days that take precedent over the regular Sunday Eucharist. And so on our calendar, we have various feasts and fasts, and we have different feast days to recognize certain people in the church. Now, if today was not a Sunday, August 20th, we remember the life and ministry and the martyrdom of Jonathan Merrick Daniels. Jonathan Merrick Daniels was a seminarian, a white gentleman from, I think he was originally from New Hampshire, who was going to seminary in Cambridge in the early 60s. Cambridge, Massachusetts, that is. And this was the same time you really had, you know, the civil rights movement was really in full swing. And one of the works of the civil rights movement was trying to get people registered, you know, especially persons of color. You know, so he was, you know, they were trying to get people registered to vote who were African Americans, also some Hispanics, the Native Americans. But especially in places like the South, one of the things that created a problem with this process was people using intimidation. You know, I often think about, you know, the person who's coming to the poll who happens to be an African American, and they get to the poll and standing in front of the poll, there's a bunch of big white guys with guns, you know, just casually leaning there, staring at you. And why would you want to go put yourself at risk? And so you had people, of course we always remember, you know, Martin Luther King, we remember, you know, other civil rights movements, but we also have a lot of volunteers who are working in the South who are trying to get people to the polls, to get people registered. And one of these people with Jonathan Merrick Daniels, who was a seminarian, as I said earlier, and he took a leave of absence so he could go down to Alabama to work with the civil rights movement. And one day, he and a group of other people were just arrested, thrown in jail. You know, no charges were ever filed. They were just thrown into jail, which happened a lot back then. And all of a sudden, they were just released without any word. And this, of course, made them suspicious. And Jonathan, along with other people, went out to get supplies. And their group was met by a special deputy who had a shotgun and aimed it at a young lady, a 17-year-old African-American woman named Ruby Sales. And Jonathan stepped in front of the gun and took the blast himself. And so to this day, we remember him generally on our calendar as a martyr of faith, someone who believed so much in the equality and the good news that he was willing to even give his own life for his sister. Now, the interesting thing were the people who were abusing the systems were probably all good Christians. And there was a way you did things then. And the division was being created because you had people coming in and saying, no, this is not how the gospel is lived. This is not how we live into Christ, by keeping our sisters and brothers of certain races, of certain, you know, orientations, of gender, separate, you know, in a separate category and seen as lesser people. Through the good news, we're all seen as equal sisters and brothers. We're all worthy of love. And of course, this created a division. Now, as we all know, the civil rights movement continued to move on, and many of the old laws were broken. But still, considering the change, we haven't seemed to go too far in other areas. And sometimes it seems like in a few areas we've even gone backwards lately. And we have groups that consider themselves the moral majority and such, who try to proclaim a gospel that is based on the power of a certain group of people, instead of realizing all the power goes to God. All the power is with Christ. People who take the scriptures and justify some of the worst acts. But now you have a group of Christians, and the funny, you know, the sad thing is you have a lot of people who, when you hear the word Christian, automatically thinks of these people. And not realizing that to be a true Christian is to accept, to love, to invite your neighbor in, to welcome. And so, again, we have a bit of a division as those who are trying to hold on to a way of life that is opposed to the scripture, as they see those who are coming forward to saying, no, Christ said we are all one together. It's not always popular to live into the good news. It doesn't always make other people comfortable when we open our doors, we open our hearts, we open our arms to other people. As I said earlier, we kind of like a certain status quo. We may not feel it, we might think to ourselves that, oh, we're very open people, but sometimes we have to stop and think of how it is that we keep other people out. How do we add to the division? And sometimes it gets very uncomfortable because we realize that sometimes the way we always want things to be just aren't the way they should be. But as I said, fortunately there are those people like Jonathan Merrick Daniels and others who have stood up for the good news, who have seen what it is that Jesus is really calling us to do and are willing to stand up to let us know that even unto death, the good news must be lived into. So my brothers and sisters, I encourage you, you know, as you go out, you know, my hopes is that none of you have to stand in front of a shotgun, that none of you ever have to give your physical life for the good news, especially against another Christian. But I do encourage you to stand up for your faith, to make sure that what it is that you are living into, your theology, is really the theology of Christ. That your motives are based on love and acceptance, and not on trying to keep things the way I like them. It's not always easy. Actually, it's never easy, because it means getting outside of ourselves. But as I look around in our world today and I realize the divisions, yesterday many of you might have heard, probably have heard the news about an ozone park where a Muslim in front of a mosque, you know, the imam and his assistant were shot. And I don't know anything about the shooter yet. But I really believe that if we start living into the love, as we start insisting that this is truly the way and life God has sent us to live, we'll start seeing a change. This insanity that seems to be plaguing us right now will not be solved by meeting hatred with hatred, but meeting it with love. That willingness not to be afraid, but to be welcoming. Instead of sequestering ourselves away, being more visible to our society. To say, this is the way a real Christian lives. You know, that's always the funny thing in our society is, as we all know, what goes for news nowadays focuses on, you know, they're not interested often, you know, unless they need a puff piece. They're not usually interested in, you know, the good things that come out of us. They're looking for that crazy guy who's proclaiming Jesus Christ, you know, and showing hatred. Well, in a society of where sensationalism rules, we just need to be that much more visible, that much more loving, that much more welcoming, and to show that darkness, no matter how it seems to be overwhelming us, can never truly take out the light of Christ. As long as you continue to shine, so will Jesus.